The Holy Gospel for today comes to us from the Gospel of Mark, the 6th chapter. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then Jesus directed them all to have a seat and sit in groups on the green grass so that they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish, looking up to heaven, he said thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to remember in each moment of each day that you are a God who provides. That you are a God who sees our needs and meets our needs. And that we live in the fullness of that blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Well, we're continuing this journey through Galatians, and it's interesting to me because as I listened again this morning to the reading of that text, it dawned on me that throughout the last couple of weeks as I've been looking at that text and working on this sermon, I didn't recognize how negative it was. I mean, that's a pretty kind of nasty text in some ways. And yet, as I've been working with it, what I saw in it was not that at all. What I saw in it instead was Paul's concern that the people of Galatia, those who were following Christ, were losing their way and losing the benefit of what Jesus has done for them. And I wonder if this whole series isn't about us losing our way, losing our awareness of the benefit that we have in Jesus. So I want us to start by looking at Mark just very briefly. Mark 6:31 says, "Then because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat, Jesus said to them, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.'" Jesus had sent out the disciples and they had served him well in the villages and they had come back and they had reported what had happened. And he already saw in them some fatigue and of course many people were around and they were caring for those people and doing stuff. And Jesus saw that they were worn out. And he said, "Okay, it's time for a Sabbath. We need to get some rest together." And so he invites his disciples to go off to a solitary place. Not a highly unusual thing, But this time, in this particular text, what we see is Jesus saw their weariness. He saw their need for rest. And he sought to go off to a quiet place for them to get that rest. But it didn't happen. Instead, the large group that was there ran out ahead. And by the way, this, when you're going across a lake to get to another place, running out ahead and meeting them there, that's kind of a feat in and of itself. But they get there, and Jesus' focus shifts. It shifts from the weariness of the apostles, the disciples, and all of a sudden now he's concerned about these sheep without a shepherd. This large gathering of people, we later learn to be at least 5,000 men, and we assume plus women and children, this huge group. And Jesus decides, well, the rest is going to have to wait, and instead we're going to minister to these people. And he begins to teach them. One of the interesting things about that 5,000 number is that when the disciples come and say, okay, enough is enough, they're tired too now, they need to get some food, send them to get it. And when Jesus says, well, you feed them, their first response is, that would take half a year's wages. Do you want us to spend that kind of money to feed all these people? Did you notice that they didn't say, we don't have that much money? They didn't say, we can't. They said, is that really what you want us to do? And then Jesus provides for them. What I want to suggest for us today is that there may be times in your life when you're worn out. There may be times in your life when you say, hey, look, I need to take a break. And as you've probably discovered, there are times when you say, hey, I need to take a break, and you just can't do it. There are just other priorities that are before you that you cite. Now, I may need a break, but I'm not going to get one now because I need to deal with what's in front of me. I wonder if that's not a part of the reason for Momco, right? Because I think moms make those choices all the time. They're tired, they're worn out, they might even be a little sick, but dealing with their kids is something that is sort of not an option. You do what you need to do. My hope is that you experience in your life the thing that I experience in mine. Because many times, over and over again, as a pastor, I find myself tired and worn out, and then some sort of an emergency comes up, and it's like, okay, step up. Find the reserves. Dig a little deeper. Or, to be honest, trust that God will give you what you need in this moment to do what you need to do, and that you'll find rest later. The question is not, can I? The question is, will I do what I believe God is calling me to do, even though I don't feel like I have what it takes to pull it off in that moment? Now, why am I going there? I'm going there because I want to suggest that there's more to do here about this freedom of grace that we're talking about. I want to suggest that we've often minimized the truth of what grace is, not in a really negative way, actually in a very positive way, but we've still missed a part of the gift that's coming to us. We're told from last week to stand firm. Don't give up on what it is before you in grace. Don't give it up so easily by turning to some other sense of direction or obligation that others say you need to do. But listen to this from Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Sometimes our English translations just miss the zing that's in the text. Let me state it a little differently to make sure you hear this. You are called to freedom so that you can choose to be a slave. The question is not, will you be? The question is, to what will you be? The call to service is that same call to slavery. So how do we understand this freedom? And so that's where I want to go this morning. I want to talk about this freedom. And I want us to understand that freedom is sometimes from things. We're free from some obligation or another. We're free from captivity. We're free from bondage. We're free from this sense of having to do something in order to get something in return. We're free from. But we need to go another step. We need to ask ourselves, and I talk about this sometimes using this analogy. If you're in jail and the jail is locked, I know none of you know what that looks like or feels like, or many of you don't. There's a few of you that might. But just imagine from television, you know, Barney Fife or something, that you're locked behind the jail. The door's locked. You can't get out. Now imagine that you come and the sheriff comes and unlocks the door and opens the cell. Isn't that wonderful? You're no longer locked in jail. But you choose to just sit there. You choose to stay in the cell that's been unlocked. Is that the freedom for which you've been set free? Or is there another intention? Is the intention that when the cell is unlocked, that maybe you will leave the cell? Maybe the freedom that we have in Christ is freedom for experiencing the abundant life that Christ would have for us. Maybe it's freedom for the ability to love our neighbors. Maybe it's freedom for being in a relationship with God. And when I thought about this, I thought about, well, the same thing is true about forgiveness. We're forgiven from our sins. We're forgiven from our shortcomings. We're forgiven from our brokenness. I remember when I was a youth minister and I was doing a Sunday morning Bible study on forgiveness, I took a sponge and I cut the sponge in the shape of a cross. And then what I had the youth do that morning on the blackboard, yes, it was a blackboard, not a whiteboard, I am old. I'm trying to figure it out, but I'm still forgetting often. And I had them write some of their sins on the blackboard. I told them, you can use code if you want, you know, so that they could not feel too, self-conscious. And then I took the cross-shaped sponge and I wiped away their sins from the board. Amen? The cross of Christ wipes away our sin, takes away our sin. Isn't that a beautiful idea? I thought I was being pretty slick, coming up with a good analogy. I don't even think I read that in youth specialties. I think I might have come up with that myself. But there's way more to the cross of Christ than just its ability to wipe our slate clean. The cross isn't just something that that happened 2,000 years ago that has this effect of wiping your sins away. When we're baptized, we're marked with the cross of Christ. When we're, even this morning, when Joe shared the words of absolution, he said, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, you are forgiven. Amen? And then he said, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you give the power to become and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. See, the cross just isn't about wiping the slate clean. It is about that. But the next step is, and now you also have the ability to become children of God. You also now receive the promised Holy Spirit to be with you and in you. It's freedom for experiencing the purpose of God for our lives. It's forgiveness for living back in a relationship with God. I'm sure that God and that Jesus died on the cross so that you would not have to be punished from your sin. But Martin Luther said that what happens on the cross is the divine exchange. That Jesus is punished for your sins. He gets what we deserve. But then there's an exchange. Now we also get what he deserves as the Holy Son of God. The forgiveness we receive in Christ makes us children of God. It allows us to have the Holy Spirit dwell in us. The freedom from the law is not just freedom from expectation and bondage, it's also the freedom to actually be able to do that which God desires for us and desires through us, not out of law, but out of love. I talked last week about this journey that I've been on just recently, having to move away from that sense of feeling really good about myself, because occasionally when I feel God asking me to do something I don't want to do, I obey. But I obey like with disappointment. I obey continuing to know this isn't what I want to do. It's sort of like obeying the law, doing what I have to do, instead of recognizing the opportunity that God puts before me, even if it looks hard, even if it looks undesirable, is a blessing, is an honor, is an opportunity to serve the Lord of heaven. What an incredible gift it is to be equipped and blessed by God and called to serve Him. What an amazing honor that is for our lives. And oh, by the way, that for which He created us, that which He prepared long ago for us to do. It's about experiencing the purpose of God in our life. We're set free for living into the reality of God's purpose and blessing in our lives. It's not just a, okay, if I have to. It's like, Lord, really? I'm now back in the family. I'm back on the team. I now get to play my part, do my role. Have the honor of being your child and your servant in the world. Have the privilege of letting the world know the truth of who you are. There is no greater honor or blessing. And not only are we forgiven from and forgiven for, but we're also forgiven to be forgiving to others. We're told that we have the keys to the kingdom, that whatever we forgive is forgiven. You didn't realize, you thought that was a whole pastor thing, didn't you? No. You sons and daughters of Jesus, you have the authority given to you by Jesus himself through his death and resurrection. You have the freedom to forgive others. Not just so that they're forgiven in their obligation from you. You have the incredible privilege of being a spokesperson for God, and you can declare the forgiveness of God for others as a child of God. You've been given that authority to speak for God, to speak that word of forgiveness to others, and not just forgiveness from, but forgiveness for. That they would not only be freed from that sense of guilt and shame from the things they've done or failed to do, but they would be freed in such a way that they too have the privilege of being children of God and marked with the cross of Christ forever. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another in humility and humble love. That's the honor we have in our lives. The church sometimes creates sabbatical policies. They do this because they recognize that there are times when we pastor-type people burn out. And they recognize that we're going to be better off if we get some rest than if we just keep trying to work through it. When Desert Hope started back in 2010, they set a sabbatical policy of 2 months every 4 years instead of 3 months every 7. And so at the end of 4 years, I was ready for sabbatical, but we weren't really ready for me to take a sabbatical. There were too many things going on in the life of the church at that time. There was a capital campaign happening, a building program happening. It was just not a good time for me to be away. So we agreed that I would wait a year. But we also agreed that in waiting a year, I would not wait 4 more years after that, but my next sabbatical would be 3 years after that, after waiting a year. So 4 years and 8 years. Great. Instead, it would be 5 years and 8 years. Great. I had a great sabbatical after 5 years, and I desperately needed it. I hate to admit this, but when that sabbatical started, I was at 310 pounds, and I was really not doing very well. And when I came back from that sabbatical, including, by the way, the three-week diving adventure in Bali, which was absolutely phenomenal. If you want to see some pictures, I can show them to you sometime. I began then to do a better job of taking care of myself. And so when 3 years further came and it was time for me to say, okay, what are you going to do for this sabbatical? Because you have to tell the council ahead of time. I didn't know what to do, so I decided I'd pray about it. Surprise, surprise. And the answer I got surprised me a little bit. The answer I got was serve. I thought, all right, I can do that. That's when I became a pastor barista, by the way. Friend of mine, an African-American guy, was starting a new church on Saturday nights. And so for the first year, I was their barista. I was the one that came early, got all the coffee ready, served the folks their coffee, and put it all away at the end. That was my Saturday night for a year. But then my sabbatical introduced me to the NALC. The LCMC didn't really have a place for me to go and serve, but the NALC Disaster Relief, some of you are leaving today to serve on that disaster relief mission. I was able to go to a church, Peace Lutheran Church in Rosenberg, Texas, just south of Houston, to do hurricane relief. And that church had an unused parsonage, so they actually let me stay in the parsonage for the month of June that year, and I had jobs to do. And one of the jobs that I remember really, really enjoying was the job that no one else would do. See, they actually didn't believe as a pastor that I'd be willing to do that. They thought I wanted to, like, pray with people and stuff. Maybe preach. And I said, no, I'm here to serve. I'm here to do the grunt work. I'm here to help out with the hurricane relief. And so I met with Michael, the director of their NALC disaster relief gathering place there, and every day he gave me new jobs to do. And I called Marilyn one morning, one afternoon, checking in, and I said, she goes, so what do you do today? I go, I got to go diving. Scuba dive, right? Got to go diving. I thought that was hilarious because what I actually got to do was go dumpster diving. There was a dumpster that had been overfilled and it could no longer be taken away by the truck. It was too heavy. And so they had to bring in another dumpster next to it, and somebody had to take the stuff out of one dumpster and put it into another, and nobody wanted to do it. And that became one of the funnest, most enjoyable period of days. I think I was at it for about 4 days with a few other people just moving stuff from one dumpster to another. We had so much fun imagining and talking about the dress we found that was still in its bag as one of the gal who was volunteering with it. Hey, there's a prom dress for you. And we found some jewelry too. Oh, there's some pearls. They can go with your prom dress. And we just made stuff up to take this grunt work and make it fun. And by the way, I'm not known for that. But that was a part of the blessing of service that God wanted that sabbatical to teach me. There's joy in that service. There's blessing in that service. The reason you're freed for loving and serving others, the reason God does that is because He built you for that. The reason He wants that for you is not just so that you'll submit and grovel. It's so that you can experience the joy, the fullness of this life God has for you. That He will actually work through you to celebrate even the hard work. How many of you have been to Mission to Mexico? How many of you, when you got back, said, I got more than I gave? It's the nature of service that God blesses us, fills us. But in order to do it, we have to humble ourselves in love. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Not freedom to indulge our own desires, but rather freedom to experience our true purpose. Freedom to experience the abundant life that Christ has for us. So we look for those opportunities and we celebrate the honor it is to be forgiven for the fullness of Christ in and through our lives. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are children of God, marked with the cross of Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit, so that the abundant life that God has in store for us, we are freed to live. Thanks be to God. Amen.